one of my buddies, you know, we was outside and stuff, just playing, we was wrestling and boxing and stuff, and then I heard a gunshot. Somebody had just shot him, you know, right here. He had a bullet hole. We don't even know who did it. You know, it was a little drive-by shooting. And it was like, since that happened, that kind of affected me. And, you know, he was like my best friend. And it was like, you know, my buddy Troy, you know, it's still bothering me a lot.
For many of the youth who live in the inner cities of America, drugs, crime, and gang violence are the norm, and the future holds little hope. To those who grow up in the urban underclass, our society responds with fear and anger. We pass bond issues for prisons and deny funds for schools. We declare war on drugs instead of making peace in the streets. A project in San Francisco is taking a different tack. Based on Roosevelt's Depression-era work programs, the San Francisco Conservation Corps was founded in 1984. Employing the supposedly unemployable, the Corps trains them for the job market and rebuilds the ravaged neighborhoods they grew up in. The Corps has given itself a big job, but it has the right tools, respect, high expectations, and hard work. And it's fast becoming a model for youth training programs in cities throughout the nation. But can it really succeed in overcoming the poverty, addiction, and violence that put the futures of so many youth at risk? And to the extent that it does the job, what makes it work?
Reach up! Stretch yourself! Get those arms up in the air! Jumping jacks! Ready, begin! One, two, three, four, hut!
Two, hut! Three,
hut!
Four!
Stop, 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 stop. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Monday morning! Let's pretend we enjoy work. Let's make some noise. I want you to wake up those people across the street. Ready? Begin. Hut. Two, three. Hut.
Two.
Hut.
Three.
Hut.
The time is 7:30 a.m., the place, Fort Mason, San Francisco. In an open field overlooking the Golden Gate Bridge, a group of 130 youth, mostly men, are gathered. They're Black, Latino, Asian, Native American, and white. Their military-style morning routine seems appropriate at this decommissioned Army base, where these veterans of the city's mean streets begin their day with a tough round of calisthenics.
Up!
Yay!
Up!
Nine!
Up! Deep!
Shake it!
Okay, a little slow.
It gets hot! How long of a run do we do today, George? I think a mile.
Come on,
I think a mile.
Let's go, it's a run!
The morning exercise ends with a mile-long run. As the group takes off, Corps Director Robert Burkhart pulls aside two young men.
Maurice, what's with you?
I just went to go get a donut.
I went down Safeway, right?
You guys walk up here.
We jogged up here. I'm here to tell you, we're on
such thin ice, Maurice. You know what's going to happen if you do that again?
Get fired.
Probably, yeah. Take off. Both of you, start running real fast.
Robert Burkhart's style is a cross between that of a preacher and a drill sergeant. He demands a lot of the Corps members in his program, and of himself as well. After lecturing DJ and Maurice, he takes off with them to run the course. Returning from his run, Robert Burkhart explains why the Corps' policies of punctuality and strict discipline are crucial for guys like DJ Larry and Maurice Foster.
The work world demands people who are going to be responsible and reliable. One of the things we have to do with Corps members here is impress on them every day that they can build the habits that are going to get them a good job and help them hold on to it. So what I did was ask those two guys to stay with me. And I ran them just a little bit harder than they normally like to run, just to remind them that tomorrow will be real useful for them to be here on time.
Stride it. Requirements for a job at the Corps include adherence to the five non-negotiables. Booze it, you lose it. Get high, goodbye. Throw a punch, gone by lunch. Steal, no appeal. Non-cooperation, unpaid vacation. But this militaristic discipline is complemented by the attention, caring, and support that staff members give each individual in the program. And there's a tangible feeling of camaraderie.
Next time, I'm going to pass you.
That's fine. You will make my day if you do.
It's going to be a perfect day. Give me a beat. Give me a beat.
Here goes the 1, 2, 3, and busted, rocking right in the room. Rocking on the mic, do it right for you. We got the beat, the jam, to make you wanna slam. Everybody get up, ha ha ha, and clap your hand.
Recruits come to the Corps from San Francisco's toughest neighborhoods. They have multiple problems, including broken homes, drug habits, police records, and little or no prospect of finding work.
I used to be in this little crew. They call it OC, and OC stands for out of control. It'd be like maybe 15 of my buddies and everybody down there selling, you know, drugs. Because you can make $500 a day selling drugs when you're only making $230 every 2 weeks working a job.
Yeah.
But it was like, after you start making, like, a lot of money, and, you know, you be like, curious, you know, what is this drug? And you wind up smoking it. That's what happened to me. So I was smoking it every day. I had to, you know, get high. So we'd all wind up fighting or shooting or something. You know, I mean, a lot of my buddies, you know, got killed. You know, you wasn't no future for me, you know, then.
Young men like James Hopkins are at risk, says Valerie Toulier, the Corps' education coordinator.
They're at risk. They're constantly at risk from going on crack binges once they get their paycheck, from getting busted on the weekend, going back to jail. They're at risk for sexually transmitted diseases. They're at risk for never ever completing their GED. You know, so they're coming here pretty much according to normal standards, unemployable.
Okay, let's settle down. We got roll call. Buenos dias.
Yes.
Good morning.
Morning.
What's up?
What's up?
We'll leave it at that. Okay, let's begin. Crew one, Lonnie Ford. Carlos Aranda. Thurman McGowan.
Lewis Brown, who's 20, has been with the Corps for 2 months. But he's been in trouble for years, ever since he was caught in an attempted burglary.
I was outside, and then I seen the everybody was going in, and I went in too. You know, I shouldn't have, but I went in, and then everybody was running out, and the police was outside waiting for us, and I got locked up for a year for that. I was 12 then, and I was getting involved with drugs and stuff, using marijuana and cocaine.
Lewis is still trying to shake a crack habit, which is taking a toll on his attendance record at the Corps.
Thomas on. Lewis Brown.
Yo.
It's about time. Yeah. I miss you. Shh. Anthony English.
Yeah.
Marcus Porter. Okay, Victor Romo.
Yeah.
Luke Siba.
Hey.
Gathering in the parking lot, Corps members form 14 crews and climb into vans which take them to various job sites. Today, they are putting up play structures for housing projects, landscaping city parks, and building recycling center facilities. These jobs, contracted from government and private agencies, pay 85% of the Corps' expenses, making the training program extremely cost-effective. However, many recruits feel that the starting wage of $4.50 an hour is too low. Lewis Brown hops into Crew 12's van.
I got in early today. I got in too late already. Can't get in no more. But I made it today, and I'm glad.
See this trim up here? Same procedure. First we'll go over there, lay out the drop cloths, get it taped down, then we'll come out there with the paint.
Bobby Castillo's crew is repairing a residential hotel. The 7 workers on this job are learning to sand, sheetrock, patch walls, paint, and they're acquiring basic carpentry skills.
This can be touched up right here with the long brush. And we need a ladder that's got the other leg that we can bring down to be able to stabilize this. So go ahead and put our canvas down.
What's your room number on her again?
416.
Let me just finish this receipt so I don't make a mistake.
The Corps' projects often bring these recruits back into their own neighborhoods. This hotel in the Tenderloin District provides inexpensive housing for low-income families and seniors.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. But I'm going to leave.
Okay, you're going to come back, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we love you.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay. Sorry.
Bye, love.
This is one of the poorest neighborhoods in San Francisco. A lot of elderly are here. A lot of children, you see, like this woman right here with, you know, her two children. It is definitely not the place that you want to raise children at, but they have to live here.
By putting something back into their communities, these youth are learning the value of work and gaining self-respect.
I know that my responsibility is to teach people, not just the job, but to care for the community and to care about other people. Sometimes it isn't the skill in how to cut and, you know, in prime. It isn't about that. We're passing the ball. You know, they got to take it and run with it. They're our future.
These recruits need far more than construction skills and a sense of caring for their communities, however. As job placement coordinator Martine Carlton notes, many are in desperate need of basic skills in order to get and hold down a job in the real world.
The fact of the matter is that literacy is the biggest detriment. Writing skills, speaking skills, minimal math skills, a driver's license, a GED, those are the minimal in our society now to obtain jobs that with any sort of a future, anything other than flipping burgers or serving cookies.
The Corps' education program is an integral part of its schedule and its philosophy. Participants attend a half day of classes on Friday and one evening class each week. Classes are mandatory and unpaid. They range from basic math to career counseling to working on the Corps' newsletter. Lewis Brown is taking the GED class, preparation for the high school equivalency exam.
I'm a low reader. I'm reading at about the fourth grade level. See, I used to fight all every day in school. I was like a bully, you can say. And these teachers used to transfer me or just promote me to get me out of their way, out their class and everything. I think they do that just to get rid of you so they won't have to deal with you the next year or the next semester or whatever. And that didn't help me none. And so I'm taking GED, reading and writing, you know, because I'm tired of just not knowing how to read. And because I just want to better myself and get a better job so I can just move on with my life, you know.
Same for you, Robert. Pardon?
Pencil, teacher.
Yes.
In class, students choose articles in a current Newsweek magazine to practice reading.
Yep, I found one about can the children be saved? Yep, I'm gonna read this. Mrs. Nee's house stands near the north end of the block on the west side of 19th Street. Owned by the Philadelphia Housing Authority, it is flanked on both sides by boarded up buildings, and it is almost burned inside.
Barren
inside.
Okay. Can you stop there?
Okay.
And then read it to yourself, okay? And then think about what it means, okay?
Hey, y'all.
How you doing?
Hey, what's going on? 2 points.
I know.
I'm about to kill myself coming out of there.
Joe. No, that's
not good. Oh, so upset, though. I ran out of time, and I had about 15 questions left.
Jim Baker comes into class late. He has just taken and failed one section of the GED.
If I would have had 5 more minutes, I would have passed that test. 5.
So basically what you thought the problem was just speed,
That's all it was.
Okay, we'll work on that. Okay.
Just give me some homework, and I think I can beat the speed.
I want you to do some of these exercises in here, starting right here, okay? As far through as you can, okay?
All right.
And then after class, I'm going to talk to you about your test, okay, and figure out a strategy for this,
okay?
Yeah,
we have to figure out some kind of strategy around here. I got to have some kind of game plan.
Okay.
Kind of got to psych them out this time. Well, yeah, they can't mess with me when I want to get down.
Okay.
So give them a little taste, Jimmy. 1, 2, 3, bust it. Yeah. We just started it up again. You want to hear a rhyme? Want to get down again? Come on, do it on time. When I rhyme it like this in the mix. No, this ain't no trick, it's fresh. Straight out of Frisco, y'all. Just be chilling because I'm hitting very hard. We got the beat and the sounds in the jam, right? We going to get down and do it every night. Come on. We got, you know, we got so many raps, you know, we just need to get discovered.
Crew supervisor Lonnie Ford has worked for 17 years as a professional actor. He encourages DJ and other rappers at the core to take their performing seriously.
I always try to infuse and put out there that performing is a viable profession. You know, but it takes work like anything else. No one ever recognized my talent as an actor until I was 23 years old and a director. I just happened to take a theater class and the guy said, hey, man, you can act. So yeah, that's true, huh? I'm pretty damn good too, huh? I've been acting all my damn life, in and out of juvie and penitentiary and the whole nine yards, right? If we don't recognize, acknowledge talent and work to develop them, with young people, then they atrophy. So the core offers people an opportunity to do that. And you can do it just about any time. We had what we call a rap-off, a recycling rap-off. So core members wrote raps about recycling. And core members came up with these bad raps, and you know, someone beatboxes on the side, beatbox being that. I mean, we'd be kicking, right?
Recycle's the cycle of concept from beginning to end where things are used, reused, and used again. For example, glass, paper, and aluminum. Cash in adds up to a lot. Some money is not funny, so can you understand the concept? But taking steps in the right direction. And let me bring to you not this other alternative where you can do something and learn to give back to the community, and then you will see a change for the better. Now comprehend the words that I recite in this letter. I'm tired of seeing garbage packed up, stacked up. It starts to remind me of a freeway backup. So throw away waste in such a haste, there's a better place for you to send your trash. Now when it's that paper you're about to stash, think of the problem called pollution. Recycling won't solve because it's only a solution. So take a pause for the cause and the nerve to conserve and recycle.
Acquired immune deficiency syndrome.
We're just talking about different body fluids here?
Uh-huh.
You tell them. You learn.
All right, blood is a big risk. You don't want to get that inside. Yeah. Okay, sperm, semen is a big risk.
Big time risk. And why is that?
Semen, the sperm, is a product of blood.
Okay.
Tell
me about saliva, Carlos.
Saliva, let's see, all right. It takes like, what is it?
Quart
of saliva to get inside your system to catch AIDS. You know, if you want to make out.
You're cool.
Yeah. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. Just don't drink a quart.
Okay, tell me about sweat.
Oh, sweat.
Can you get it from sweat?
No.
Okay, can you get it from tears?
No.
In Liz Dorn's AIDS class, humor is often the vehicle for bringing home a serious lesson.
You know, like this class, I get teary-eyed sometimes in this class when I teach it. We're talking about death and dying. You know, there's a lot of funny stuff and they always giggle when I do safe sex and put the condom on the banana.
The Corps' educational curriculum includes the three R's, survival skills, and self-esteem. But the toughest lesson of all is simply learning to show up for work on time.
My desire is that they can move on to a full-time, unsubsidized job. And you can't do that if you're going to sleep till 10 o'clock in the morning.
Lewis Brown skipped another day of work. Supervisor Thomas Ahn holds out little hope for his success at the Corps.
And Lewis has this bad habit of like showing up for a while, you know, showing up just enough to collect a paycheck, and then the next day he's gone, you know, for that day and doesn't call in. And when he's here, he's fine, but he just has trouble showing up. he's already admitted to me that he has a crack problem that he's working on. I don't know. I mean, he may not show up again for a while, in which case, you know, he has to be fired. Or if he comes back tomorrow, try putting him on contract, which I don't think he can pass.
Lewis sees it differently.
I could have came, but I just didn't because I didn't feel well. Didn't feel like coming to work, so I just stayed away from it. And now he told me he want to talk to me. You know, I don't know what for, because it ain't nothing for him to really talk to me about. But the way he said it, like, I have to talk to you, like, so I'm kind of hoping he won't trip and get on me.
Lewis did show up the following day and faced disciplinary action from his supervisor.
Now, you've been absent before this Friday. You've been absent two Fridays in a row, which you're supposed to be fired for. And you've also been absent the day after payday for the last two times. So the only choice, for me at least, is I'm putting you on contract. I'm going to put you on a three-week contract. Okay, 3 weeks. You know what? You understand what that means?
Yeah.
If you're late, you're fired. If you're absent, you're fired. If you don't call in, you're fired. I mean, I feel like I'm being fair. I don't know. What do you think?
No, I don't know what to think, really, man. But I don't think it's being fair because, you know, I called in on the days I was absent, but about three days or so.
And more than that, no, you didn't call in. We rely on you as a part of this crew, and for you to not call in, you know, just periodically take days off because you feel like it or you just got paid, you know, that's like a slap in the face to us, to everybody here.
But I won't comment on nothing else like that then no more, man. I'm going to just accept it, man, do what I got to do, man.
All you have to do with this contract is to show up every day. That's all you have to do. Show up in the morning every day.
Yeah.
But showing up every day on time for 3 weeks will not be so easy for Lewis.
It's a lot of reasons, but one main reason is drugs. You know, I have been experiencing drugs lately. You know, but I'm a good worker. And I just missed a few days, you know, and I felt that I should be given another chance. But I'm going to just accept it, though. I can do it. Yeah, I know I can. I know it.
Luke, let's walk through the rest of this. These are weeds. You can pull them out. That comes out. That comes out. Rake up the leaves. This stays. This comes out.
All this comes out?
Yeah. And also all these things need to be sanded. I have to go to Toolmaster to get a generator.
You want to pick up some more sandpaper while you're out?
Yeah, okay.
Today, Lewis and another crew member, Marcus, are renovating the garden of a retirement home for seniors.
Yep, it's shady. I don't mind working here.
Hey, Lewis. Yo. Come over here and help me with this. We got to get all this green stuff. When Tom tell you?
Told me I'm on contract for 3 weeks. I just can't get started. Just see, can't drink, can't do nothing. I just gotta appear at work every day on time. I will do it.
I'll make sure he does it.
Lewis Brown was prompt for the next few days, but then failed to show again. After a second and third chance, he was finally fired. Did he fail, or did the program fail him? Some feel that the low wages and militaristic discipline are just too tough for young men like Lewis.
Punctuality is nothing more than respect for other human beings. So if that is military or paramilitary to demand that you show up on time, I'm all for it. We mean business. We still love them, but it's, extreme remedies are appropriate for extreme diseases.
Are programs like the Conservation Corps fostering false expectations and then simply sending these guys back onto the street? Staff members at the Corps feel it's worth the risk.
I think that there's a high percentage of them that go back to the streets. I really do, and I'm really sad about that. I think that we make some kind of impact on them. It depends on how you measure. You know, it's like, I'll never forget this young man, Carl. I really liked him. He had just gotten out of San Quentin, and he had heard about the court at San Quentin. One of the homeboys was up there with him, right? And so he had gotten fired because he did a no-call, no-show for like two days, three days. And I was so sad because I had such an affection for him, you know. And I looked at him and said, Carl, what is up? You know, why can't you just call, you know? And he says, Valerie, he goes, it's okay. He goes, don't feel bad. He goes, I don't feel bad. He goes, this is the first legitimate job I ever had. So to him, his stay at the court was a success. Whereas, you know, by our measurements, perhaps he wasn't. He was just another one who bit the dust in the program.
We have a choice here every day whether or not we're going to imbue people with a sense of destiny, with a sense of their own lives and their own power, or whether we're just going to say, you know what, you're 20, you dropped out of ninth grade, and there's nothing for you in this life. You know, we choose the former. We choose to err on the side of overextending people's hopes in the hope that they'll reach as high as we want them to.
I think when I look at a David Lee, for example, who used to solve all his problems with his fists. David is half Cambodian, half Sioux Indian. And he got thrown out of Mission High School in San Francisco for being a thug. David, we fired him on his very first day here because he was a minute late. And he was real mad at us for doing that. But we talked with him. He came back. We fired him again. And we fired him a third time. But you know, David is working. David's making $17.50 an hour right now. And when he works on holidays, he makes $45 an hour for Sunset Scavenger. And he's big and he's strong and he's talking real estate and retirement plans.
Only about 30% of the kids hired make it through the program and get long-term jobs. But for these youth, the chances of staying employed, of kicking drug habits, and of moving away from gang violence are very good because they leave the Corps with a sense of self-worth and accomplishment.
So does it make a difference? Absolutely it makes a difference. Is it enough? No, it's not enough. But hey, what that suggests is that other people who are committed to solving these problems ought to join with us.
Others are joining in. The National Youth Service Act, recently passed by Congress, will provide funding for the startup of 16 new Urban Corps programs based on the San Francisco model. In cities such as Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Rochester, New York, and Portland, Oregon, these Conservation Corps programs will give inner-city youth skills to enter the job market and the world beyond their neighborhoods.
If you walk on the street, you're looking for is me. The Conservation Corps is the place to be. We work hard all day. We make pretty good pay. And some people leave and some people stay. Well, the building is found down in Fort Mason. If you're lazy or hurt, you're headed to the wrong places. Well, get up by 6 and we'll be here by 7. If you walk through the door, it make you feel real pleasant. Well, fair and lean, don't come in mean. All we ask is you show your full esteem.
I'm Anthony English, the one and only. Can't be beat, it's only one of me.
My name is Linnell, it's Linnell Berkeley. I'm an ex-Corps member.
Well, it's like this though, my name is Diamond Peloche. I'm alright, I'm legit, I'm square, and I'm cool.
I'm DJ OAG, I be chilling all around the city. Not a bad person, real good guy.
Jazz, I'm legit, I chill, but sometime I get ill.
Hard Work, Job Training for Urban Youth was produced by Claire Schoen at Fine Line Productions. The program was mixed at Earwax Studios by Barney Jones and funded in part by a grant from New Lambda Trust. Special thanks to Stephen Most and to the San Francisco Conservation Corps.